morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Stephen Dutzman, and I am your host. I'm also the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. That's a website on the internet where parents like myself and my co-host come together to give everyone the information they need to get their family game on. Today, I want to talk about Game Informer magazine and just magazines in general. Earlier on this week, we got pretty bad news, really, that the GameStop is they actually did a corporate restructuring that resulted in 120 people losing their jobs. That by itself, tragic enough, because in times like these, the last thing people need is to lose that stability of a job, right? But another thing they did is they actually laid off 7 of the 19 staff members for Game Informer magazine. So somehow they're going to be running a magazine and a website on a skeleton crew of 12 people. I don't know how they're going to do it. It seems like a Herculean task to me. And man, it's sad because Game Informer was one of the last magazines that was produced, but one of the last gaming magazines that was produced and distributed in North America. There are some in the UK, and it's a dying breed, and it's sad for me personally, because video game magazines in general were a huge part of my life as a kid. I think it really all starts for me with Nintendo Power. I was a Nintendo Power kid, and I think that is part of the reason why I love Nintendo as much as I do, because starting, there was, it all started with the promotion where they were giving away a free copy of Dragon Warrior if you subscribed, right? And a ton of people signed up then, and we subscribed to Nintendo Power every year. And man, when the new Nintendo Power came in the mail, I remember my brother and I would just lose our minds, and we would go through every page and we would read every article and look over every map. And sometimes we would even go back to older episodes, and it was so great. We loved it. Nintendo Power was like the only way we knew for a while what was coming, right? It was our window into, because that was before the internet, right? Like, it was before YouTube, and it was before Twitter, where, half the time, I know what's coming out at any given time, months in advance, sometimes years, right? But back then, you didn't know that. The only way you knew was if Nintendo Power put a review in, and then you could go looking for it. I remember, I've told this story before, but like, our purchases were entirely driven by Nintendo Power magazine. And it would be, my brother's birthday was in March and mine was in November, and then there was Christmas. And then sometimes if we were lucky, my parents would help hook us up with a used game, maybe something we found in a bargain bin over the summer. That's how we found like Disney's Aladdin on the SNES and Gemfire, which is a game that, wasn't like ridiculously great, but we loved it because it's what we had. And so we would look at these magazines over the summer and like have these, we would lay them out on the dining room table and we would have these very intense and detailed discussions about, okay, I'll ask for this for my birthday. If you think, we can go in on this for Christmas, and then we'll get this one for your birthday. And like, that was like such a huge deal. And Nintendo Power magazine, and sometimes we would get other magazines. We would find one on sale somewhere, or we'd get lucky because maybe our parents bought it for us for a long car ride, and they'd get us like an EGM or something. And, that was insanity, right? Like whenever we would end up with some other magazine. It was always a presence. And, my kids don't, we get Game Informer every month. I will continue to subscribe to it until it goes away. But, and my kids, they don't read it. Which is sad, but I mean, they have other things that they do. But I still have really great memories of, you know, just having that come in the mail. I still get it. I still read it. I still get excited for it. And to find out that whole genre is coming to an end, it's really sad. I'm bummed. And I, oh man, here I am trying to get gas and it's just not working because everybody's fighting over it. So I'm just going to leave. So yeah, I mean, this is one of those, I'd love to hear everybody else's thoughts on this. You know, for a while I thought Game Informer might be able to kind of keep going, and really they've been defying death and living on borrowed time because they were tied to and owned by a retailer. And so that's kind of extended their life more than most other magazines by nature of the fact that, you know, they are part of a subscription service. Their subscription is part of a service that is, you know, that you use to like get a discount at GameStop. But obviously, if GameStop's not there, nobody's going to be buying Power Up Rewards cards at GameStop, right? So, yeah, it's depressing just to think about. It's an end of an era, and obviously, you know, I don't just feel bad for myself and for, you know, fans. You know, I feel bad for the writers, right? I mean, Minnesota, the Game Informer magazine is based in Minnesota. So living there and working in games, in order to stay in games, like you really can't, you have to go to, you have to go to, you know, somewhere else, the Bay Area, New York City, you know, something like that. To get scooped up by another site, but other sites don't necessarily have 7 or 8 different positions available. So it's going to be really, it's disappointing. But I wish them all the best. And I'd love, you know, I want you to share your video game magazine memories. You know, what do you remember? Was there a magazine that you really hung on to, that you remember getting and loving? I'd love to hear those memories from you. So I'm going to go ahead and share this into the community. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll talk soon. Bye now.